This weekend on The Stan Radio, we'll visit with M.D. Perkins, director of the New American Family Studios documentary, Culture Warrior.
Now we are seeing the fruits of things that Don was warning about 30 or 40 years ago. And now you actually have the evidence of what has this actually done to society. So in a way that Don was prophesying that this would happen, now we can look back and historically see that did happen.
The Stan Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, September the 12th, 2024. In studio with me is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Hello there.
Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And again, we thank you for listening. A lot to talk about today. I got a news alert on my phone. And boy, when you get a news alert on your phone, you know something's happened big because... only get 17 today. click here.
Yeah, click here, I shut them off.
Yeah, the notifications.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it was Fox News sent me something about Los Angeles today.
Earthquake in the Malibu area, just northwest of Los Angeles. 4.7 is what's being reported on the Richter scale. The stories that I just read before coming in the studio, pretty good shake. No major damage, and they had an after quake about 2.0, something like that. And this is on top of the wildfires that Southern California is experiencing right now. So not a good day in Southern California.
Seismologist, is that what you call it?
Seismologist, yeah.
Dr. Lucy Jones told Fox LA the quake had a 40% chance of associating with the fault line in Malibu, which runs along the coast. You know, almost everywhere you can live has its own inherent natural disaster potential.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And certainly with the wildfires and the earthquake potential in California. What do we got to? We got hurricanes and tornadoes here, right?
Yeah, hurricanes and tornadoes here. When I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, that was early on in our ministry lives, my wife and I. We didn't really have a whole lot in terms of, you know, tornadoes and or whatnot, but it was in the desert. Mm-hmm. So it was, you're always...
Scorpions.
Yes.
Rattlesnakes.
Scorpions, rattlesnakes, 30 days straight of 115 degrees and all that kind of stuff. So everywhere's got some... problem with
we actually are not far from a fault line here in the state of Mississippi. It's the one that runs along the Mississippi River there from Memphis,
New Madrid, or Madrid.
Yeah,
or
if that were to have a really big one, we
Chris,
would feel
just
it.
Stop. Just stop. I don't need any. We've got an election coming up. Please don't start talking.
There's enough
about,
stress in the world right now.
Please don't start talking about the New Madrid fault and what happens if it goes off.
Okay. I've been on a simulator before that it was trying to teach people about, like, the last time that had a big quake. It's in Jackson, Tennessee area, I believe.
Yeah, they felt the tremors in Boston. It made the church bells
That's right.
Ring.
Mm-hmm. When was this? 18?
18 something.
It was back in the day.
It was even before Fred was born.
That's when the they said the Mississippi River ran backwards.
Flowed backwards, yeah.
Is that one of those?
No, it did, because the ground shook and sent it. I mean, it was temporary.
Mm-hmm. Were you backwards. There?
No, and that's, see, you're going to ask me a question, and then you're going to pound on me.
I read it on Facebook.
Pound on me.
I'm just kidding. I've always heard the river ran backwards when that earthquake hit, and the New Madrid Fault, which is, as you say, runs along the Mississippi River from Missouri down to Mississippi. And that was, but I don't know what, I've forgotten what year that.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, these smaller earthquakes are actually a good thing, because this is what I this is what I understand for my in-depth pursuit of
earthquake knowledge, seismology.
That it actually releases some stress on the fault line so that you don't get a big one later on.
Kind of like going outside when you're under stress and just yelling at the moon.
Yes, rather than kicking the dog.
Now people just make a TikTok when they're mad. Right.
Or in some parts of the country, eating the dog.
Oh, wow. We didn't need that.
I heard that, too.
All right, so there was an earthquake in Los Angeles this morning, but by California standards, it was small. So, but you know what I was going to say was, if you live in a place that's very susceptible and historically has had earthquakes, you got to think in the back of your, when something like that happens, you're thinking in the back of your mind, what if the big one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess they're trying to be prepared as possible.
Yeah. When we lived in the Vancouver area, there was a lot of talk, a lot of preparation talk on a fairly consistent basis about what to do, because we lived in a suburb of Vancouver, British Columbia, which was below sea level.
Okay.
And basically what they told us is that water would flood in.
Uh-huh. From the sea?
Yes, because the way the ground is, and the water would also come up from the bottom.
So like it'd be muck.
From your front lawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it would come up. So you had to be ready for that. It's called liquefaction.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so you had to be ready for that. So it's talked a lot about on the West Coast, up and down the West Coast, because there are so many fault lines there.
Yeah. Do you have to read like paragraph 17 in your home insurance to find out we don't cover liquidation?
Yeah.
In case of an earthquake, forget us covering liquidation.
Yeah. There's the we don't cover if. Right. That's a long page.
Right. That's a long page. All right. So anyway, speaking of weather events.
Yes.
You got the.
Can I just say one additional thing? So if you decide you're going to move to Wyoming or Montana to get away from the California earthquakes, there's also that Yellowstone caldera. Have you ever read about that, where it's kind of like a bowl-shaped thing? And they expect if that ever erupts, it would cover the entire country in like 3 foot of ash. It would obliterate life on the United States. Not like scheduled, quote unquote, to erupt for 300,000 years.
But it's a volcano, or what? What is it?
It is. It's a volcano, but it's
underground.
Yeah,
we need to make sure that those astronauts that are stuck in space hear this show, because it might make them feel better about being stuck, potentially lost in space.
Stay up there.
Yeah,
avoid all the natural.
You know, there could be.
And if you do come back, and the world is, filled with monkeys that are running the place, you know, Planet of the Apes, you'll know what happened.
Yeah. All right. So the Hurricane Francine made landfall yesterday.
It did. It made landfall as a Category 2 in places I'm probably about to mispronounce. Cocodrie and Morgan City in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana. It has since been downgraded. It's not as bad as some people thought it would be, but a lot of people are without power. There are downed trees, a lot of floodwater and flooding problems today in parts of Louisiana and Mississippi especially.
The without power part, that's what I think.
It's hot in Louisiana, and you don't have power.
Yeah, and then, of course, some of the Mississippi Gulf Coast got it as well. But I don't know how, you know, usually the power is restored relatively soon, although I think I heard somebody say last time a hurricane hit Louisiana, they were without power for 2 weeks or something like that. Can be in August.
You know, the folks, I'm sure it's men and women, but I guess probably most places, mostly men. But these folks who get your power back on, these are like heroic figures. These are like from the Marvel universe.
Right.
I mean, they're out in lightning storms and everything else, tree limbs down, wind and getting the wires back up so we can so our air conditioning comes back on
and the clocks start blinking. Got some flooding, but as hurricanes go, not as damaging as some in the near past, if that's what.
And actually, for some folks, there's some benefit to this. Some areas, northern Mississippi being one of them, extremely dry.
Yes.
And so there's some walking.
Right, much needed rain.
Ooh, yes.
much needed rainfall. All right, next story.
Well, this is probably something we're going to see continue to, I guess, trend on social media platforms such as X. In the last couple of days, since Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump had a debate, and she and her friends on that were mediators from ABC, since they all claimed that late-term abortion is not a thing in the United States of America.
By the way, we need to say, excuse me for interrupting, but I'm cognizant of our listeners. Some of them tell us, please warn us when you're trying to talk about.
Thank you.
Something that is could be graphic.
Yes, yeah. And we're talking about late-term.
Mm-hmm. Late-term abortion.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So Harris and her and the moderators the other night claimed that it's a Republican talking point. Late-term abortion is not a thing in the United States of America. Since that point, an organization called Students for Life has been doing videos where they call abortion clinics and confirm on video, on camera, that late-term abortions not only are possible but also actually happen, even in instances involving cases of Down syndrome, for example. I've got audio here of Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life on a campus, on camera, calling an abortion clinic in front of students who told her that late-term abortion for genetic conditions is not a thing. Clip 5.
We're going to call the abortion facility, and I'm going to tell them I'm pregnant with a 32-week fetus, as you say. Hi, I just turned 32 weeks pregnant. Am I able to come in for an abortion ASAP?
I wouldn't be able to see you for the week of the 23rd, so that would put you there. 34 weeks.
Can I still have an abortion at 34 weeks?
Yes, ma'am. I just have to do an intake form. Do you have about 5 minutes?
Sure, I have 5 minutes. Yeah, I just found out that she could have Down syndrome. I can still have the abortion, right, even though she has Down syndrome?
Yeah, so we just have to do an intake because the doctor...
It doesn't matter.
That's late-term abortion, ma'am. That's late-term abortion in the 8th month of pregnancy that's discriminatory based on someone's genetic code. She just confirmed she would commit an abortion on me with my child who's viable and can live outside the womb.
Now, I sent that video to Kamala Harris, David Muir, Lindsay Davis, and ABC asking for comment. Don't hold your breath. They probably won't respond. If they do, I will let you know.
Now, what we just heard, just to be clear, that was, who was that and what was the...
Kristen Hawkins of Students
right,
for Life.
She's been on our radio program, Students for Life. And what she was on campus there, and she was having a discussion slash argument with some students who said to her, oh, you're just making that up. Abortion clinics don't perform late-term abortions like that. And she says, okay, why don't we take our phone? I'll take my phone right here. We'll call the clinic, and we can all listen to what they say. Mm-hmm. And then they confirmed that they would do 34 weeks.
Yeah, she initially asked for an abortion at 32 weeks, but they were full up. So she said, well, we got an opening in 2 weeks. That'll put you at 34.
And my baby, she didn't say my baby, the fetus has
Down syndrome. Was that phone call made after the debate on Tuesday night?
I believe so. Now, there's been other instances, too, where they have posted similar issues, a different lady calling an abortion clinic.
Well, it just goes to, and we need to remind people once again, at that debate on Tuesday night, one of the issues, former President Trump said there's late-term abortions being done in this country. 7th month, 8th month, 9 month.
Right.
Kamala Harris laughed at that. No, it's not. And Trump was fact-checked by one of the moderators. I forget which one it was. It's not happening in this country.
Well, no, what the moderator said, excuse me, what the moderator said was, there's no state in the country that allows you to kill the baby after it's born.
Yeah, but we heard the response. Was it a Planned Parenthood clinic by chance?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'll double check and I'm going to put
all right.
the link.
We heard the response. There was no hesitation.
Right.
Like this, there was no, let me think about that. Let me ask my boss. No. Right away, they said.
Right.
34, no problem. 34 weeks, no problem at all.
Right. Listen, this is a campaign issue. It is an issue that our country debates and discusses, and I'm talking about abortion and life. But because of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, this is a state issue now. And so I don't know. I do care, especially as a Christian, how a candidate's view is on human life and the sanctity of human life. But I'm saying for the general American public, abortion ranks on down there now, probably 10 to 15 or something like that, about in terms of what their priorities are on who they'll vote for. Do you agree with that?
I think that if you ask voters to rank, that is true. It comes down low. Rank their concerns that they'll be voting on. But I will say this. I think that for those who are radically dedicated to the pro-abortion cause, I think this issue probably does drive voter turnout.
But doesn't it on our side too, the life issue?
I don't know. All I know is that in 2022 and probably 2020, all the polling came back saying that for whatever percentage that segment is, that does drive the pro-aborts out to vote.
All right, go ahead.
One person that could expand on their belief or opinion about abortion is Vice President Harris herself. But one of her allies and somebody that's fighting for her to get elected this November is Congressman Jim Clyburn from South Carolina. He was the reason Biden ended up being the nominee back in 2020. Congressman Clyburn is of the opinion that Vice President Harris should not do one-on-one interviews. And I have the audio of here of Clyburn talking about this, clip 8.
I think that just to say have one-on-one discussions with people in the media will not necessarily connect with the voters. Because, you know, if you go on these one-on-ones, sometimes you drill down into a question until there's a word that's uttered that can be used in a negative way.
Well, I mean, this is exactly what Sanders said, wasn't it? Bernie Sanders, he basically said that she's not going to be doing these kind of interviews because
trying to win.
She's trying to win.
Mm-hmm. That was when he said pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
Isn't that amazing? She's trying to win, so we want to keep her from talking to reporters.
Yeah, because we don't want voters to find out.
Yeah.
And now he's probably saying in these one-on-one interviews, you can make a mistake and then the other side can use it. I understand it, mm-hmm. but that's part of the sifting process mm-hmm. that the electorate has to have. Mm-hmm. We have to find out whether, I mean, we don't want a president in the White House who makes mistakes when she's talking to Vladimir Putin
right.
or talking to
yeah.
NATO allies. You've got to be able to handle the pressure, and part of the process leading up to the election is you got to find out whether these people are qualified for the position.
Yeah, if you can't handle a, and I'm using air quotes, tough question from CNN and MSNBC, places that she's likely to do interviews with, how can we expect you to pull a Reagan and say something like, tear down this wall, you
right.
know?
Yeah, well, listen, this if you're her, well, anybody's political campaign team, all right, and you're trying to decide what's best for my candidate that enables them the opportunity to win, okay? You're always trying to think about how do I – now – I'm not saying this is good and healthy for the body politic.
Right.
I'm just saying in today's world, how do I handle the my candidate to keep them from their weaknesses from being exposed too much that it cost them votes in the election?
Yeah.
And so that's why they kept Joe Biden in the basement.
Right.
That was in the you may say, well, that's not right. He should be out there answering questions and traveling. Well, okay, that's true. I agree with you. But that's not smart politically. Because you don't want to have him out there stumbling and bumbling around.
Which is what sunk his campaign?
Back in the summer, that was finally got so bad, everybody in the world saw it.
But if you're a Democrat, you can get away with that. You can get away with the isolationist policy.
Right, because the media doesn't call you out for it.
The media doesn't call you out for it. If this was Donald Trump and some advisor was saying out there, now, we don't want Donald Trump doing any more interviews because he might say something that's, you know, can get him in trouble. The mainstream media would be all over that.
And it would be a constant drumbeat of criticism.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't exist for, listen, we all, I'm sure Donald Trump knew this and his team that running for president, you're just going to have to face the media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there. I'm sure he was upset by the 3-1 on the debate Tuesday night, but
yeah, he's
it's not a secret.
He said, ABC, we need to take their broadcasting licenses away.
That wasn't helpful either. Because that, listen, we know here at American Family Radio, we don't want the other side politically to or a political party that disagrees with our views on abortion. Let's take that. We don't want our licenses revoked.
That kind of stuff doesn't help Trump because the left promotes him as a dictator wannabe.
Right.
And he just gives them ammo after ammo, you know.
I'm sure he's still very angry after the debate. I'm sure he's heard. He probably knows that wasn't his best debate, you know. And
really? Trump with self-reflection? I want to see that.
Well, what I'm saying is he was probably frustrated.
Does he sit on the,
you're merciless,
on the patio by himself with a Sprite going,
No, he drinks Coke.
How I could have done better by Donald Trump.
Diet Coke.
I will say today that Real Clear Politics, and this, I actually noticed this last night, for the first time in several days, Real Clear Politics, their electoral map, has gone back to claiming Trump is going to win this election. For several days leading up to and through the debate, Harris was supposedly winning 273 to 265, which is extremely close.
Yeah.
Now they're giving Trump advantage. He's got 281, she's got 257. So basically what that means in English is, if the election was today, Real Clear Politics thinks Donald Trump is going to win a close race, but 281 to 257.
But, of course, that is if there's no shenanigans.
Well, it's subject to change next week.
Yes, yeah, that's true. And that's true.
Because it did change from favorite. We're talking about the Real Clear Politics, which is a good website to look at because it's an average of all the polls. And the Real Clear Politics national map showed Harris ahead last week, true?
Yes, it did, yeah.
Okay, and close.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's flipped, and it shows Trump ahead again, close.
That might be why she is supposedly out there pushing for another debate. Maybe that's hey, even my debate performance over him didn't improve my numbers. That's speculation.
Yeah.
Nobody's told me that.
Yeah. What does that map show? So it's a blue-red map. I'm looking at it, too, as you have it pulled up. The whole West Coast is blue, even Nevada.
Yes, they are giving
Nevada. Nevada's going to be what really close.
Yes, right? It is. And to your point, when you look at Real Clear Politics, their compilation for their polls, Harris supposedly is only up in the polls in Nevada by 0.6.
Yeah, it's a virtual tie. It could go either way. Anyway, it's going to be – let's go ahead and take our break right now. It's
going to be a nail-biter.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing
– that's what our country needs.
Yes.
We need
more
a,
stress.
We need a razor-thin nail-biter that takes 3 weeks to decide and finally goes to the Supreme Court.
Listen, on November 5th, we're going to have AFR News coverage of election night right here in the studio. And we may be here till midnight. We've done that before.
Yeah.
And it is not good for the old. It's free Maalocs for everyone.
I already have the rollout mattress in the office ready to air up.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140.
$5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to this show on AFR. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Chris, hey, I went to see the Reagan movie the other night. Well, Allison and I did.
Yeah.
Loved it. Absolutely an outstanding movie.
You loved it so much, you texted leadership and said, this movie is great.
Yeah. That was, I think, Monday night, I think we went. So... Yeah, I would recommend it. I really would.
I might go see that.
Stars Dennis Quaid.
Mm-hmm. Who I think is a born-again Christian now.
I think so.
He's given testimony of that?
Yeah. Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid was a big deal back in the, 80s and 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was one of the top actors in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then, like all happens to all of them, you know, they hit their peak and then they, I don't know what you call it.
You go downhill.
But he didn't go.
I've gone that route.
Yeah. You hit your peak.
I hit my peak.
You hit your
probably
peak
in the 90s.
In the 90s. But anyway, the Reagan, it's called Reagan. And it's, you know, it was, anyway, I highly recommend it. And the funny thing is we were at the theater. And, again, it was Monday night, so there weren't a lot of people there. So, you know how a lot of theaters now, you can leave your seat, go to the restroom, and come back, and nobody asks you anything, right?
Right.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
huh? I mean.
Yeah.
So, but there was one of their attendants, you know, and I was coming back from the restroom mid-movie, and that happens, too.
Yeah.
When you get to be 61 years old, things like that start happening to you. But anyway, going in, and he looks at me. He goes, this guy, he's about 19. He goes, yeah. Oh, you must be in the Reagan movie.
Because of your age?
The demographic.
Yeah.
I'm a 61-year-old Monday night movie attendee. He had me pegged for which one of the 8 movies I was going in.
Yes.
He said, you must be going in the Reagan movie. I said, yeah. Well, why do I look that old?
Huh? Well, I told you about a year ago, a young lady, my wife and I went to, I think, a Mexican restaurant or something, and I was paying, and she said, I didn't even say anything. She said, I gave you your senior discount.
Didn't even ask you.
Me. I said, what? How did you know I was over 55?
Right. Yeah.
Then she blushed a little bit. She
years
felt-
ago, back, this has been 4 years. And it still hurts, but I went to a thrift store here in town because my daughter's school was having a spirit week where they dress as different things, and she needed a few clothing items. My wife sent me a text message saying, you know, go grab these things or whatever else. And I'm standing there in the line, and the lady ringing me up, I was not even 40 yet at this point. Now I've had gray hair since I was 20 something.
Okay, yeah.
Bad genetics. But anyway, I'm standing there in line 38. And the lady says, how old are you, sir? And I said, why? And she said, oh, never mind. So I go home and I tell this to my wife, and she was like, she was going to give you the discount.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, so on one hand, I'm still mad about that. But on the second hand, I could have saved $4.
Yes. We do need to let our listeners know that you said there were a couple of minor profanities.
There's a couple.
But they're minor. But some people, they say, no,
well,
none.
Yeah, there are a couple of curse words, but they're when you say they're minor, then people go, oh, really?
Yeah.
You consider it? No, I don't. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's no use of the Lord's name in vain.
Right.
There's no hard profanity,
yeah.
I'm just saying. But it was the movie was historically accurate. It kept your attention, and it focused a lot on – But just tell you the story of Ronald Reagan's life.
Yeah. Mm.
And so we enjoyed it. You said you might go see it?
I think I will. Yeah. I forgot about it after you texted this out. I thought, I'm going to go see that.
They're probably going to know which one you're which movie you're going to see at
hey,
the 8.
I'm going to get a discount.
All right. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, I want to mention this real quick.
You know Taylor Swift endorsed.
Yes, and I am shocked that a liberal would support a liberal running for office. I don't want to call us bad blood with the Swifties.
Right. Well, that was, like you said, that was not unexpected.
Yeah.
People may say, who cares? And I don't care.
She's free to do that. I mean, we all, you know.
But I don't think you should underestimate her influence.
No, you're exactly right.
She's the, if you had to poll the people of the earth, Taylor Swift's name is probably going to be top five.
Right.
Right now.
She's like a Michael Jordan of music right now.
Right.
Right.
And people everywhere know.
She is the Elvis or Michael Jackson or Madonna of her current generation in terms of music sales and everything.
Or even more popular, if you can believe that. I don't know too much about her music. I've heard a couple of her songs, but she is she has fans by the millions and millions and millions called Swifties. And so when she posts something, those people do pay attention. I'm not saying they follow like zombies, but I'm saying she did endorse Kamala Harris to be, you know. But she's, like you said, she is a known Taylor Swift. She grew up, I think, in rural Pennsylvania.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm guessing probably more conservative than she is now.
Yeah.
But she really turned left when she lives in Tennessee, Taylor Swift. That's her residence.
Okay.
Nashville, because she got her start in country music and then became a pop star. Right? A mega pop
Correct.
Star. But she, I just remember an interview she did because she was opposing Marsha Blackburn. To be the
senator.
Now Marsha Blackburn is very popular in Tennessee and has won two or three times as a U.S. senator from the volunteer state. But Taylor Swift came out opposing her. And Taylor Swift's, I think it's fair to say, her issues that she cares most about are like trans.
Mm-hmm.
She's a big proponent of LGBTQ and
abortion
rights and typical left-wing celebrity, Hollywood celebrity issues that they're going to talk about. But the interesting thing is here, of course, she dates Travis Kelce, who is the all-pro tight end from the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, they hang out some with Patrick Mahomes and his wife, Brittany. Patrick Mahomes, of course, is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and already some consider him maybe the best quarterback ever in terms of his talent and abilities. So he's all over the place, too. Well, the interesting thing is Brittany, the wife of Patrick Mahomes, has endorsed Donald Trump.
Right.
But they hang out, or they did. I don't know if they will continue to. Hopefully they will, so that people can be friends, even though they did.
Right.
And that is possible.
Disagree on politics, but you have, but anyway, so that's just one of the news stories that's out there. So, but again, I know people say, well, who cares what Hollywood celebrities say or what entertainment celebrities say? I would agree.
In general,
but Taylor Swift is different.
And
would you say?
Yes, absolutely. And her support of the people who love her. Now you said, I'm not saying they act like zombies, but I'll say it. No, I'm tongue in cheek. I'm saying that if she said at her concerts or,
post on Instagram or
post on
whatever,
you have got to get out and vote. You've got to vote for Kamala Harris. I think that would drive. I think that would drive a lot of her supporters and fans,
probably her younger ones,
who ordinarily would not vote.
Yeah.
To the polls.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Well, we're just speculating here, but I do know that She is the most popular entertainment star in the world right now. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did you say Jan is on? Fred?
Yes, Jan Markell, who joins us every couple of weeks. She's host of Understanding the Times. We can ask her that. Yeah. Heard Saturday right here on American Family Radio at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 12 noon. Jan, welcome to Today's Issues.
Thank you so much. I'm a few minutes late with a technical glitch here, but I'm glad to join you.
Did you fix it?
I hope so.
You fixed a technical glitch. You ought to be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You're right. That's the first time in history. Yep.
Coming in loud and clear. Jan, there are several reports out there this morning, unverified yet, that your Attorney General, Keith Ellison, is on Kamala Harris's short list if she becomes president to become the Attorney General of the United States. As a resident of Minnesota, does that excite you?
Oh, Fred, you know, I mean, inwardly, I'm trembling a little bit. I mean, we all know that God is ultimately in control, but this would be a catastrophe. And I, because of the circumstances here, I am a resident here in Minnesota. I mean, I do have to be a little bit careful just for safety's sake, but Americans would not be happy with Keith Ellison as the country's attorney general. And I just think all of this points to this is, and it becomes a cliche after a while, that this is the most important election we've ever had. But it really, really is.
What concerns you about Keith Ellison? Can you give us just a few examples?
Well, again, I have to be a little bit careful,
sure.
And I say the same to Chad Groening. I've worked with him for years.
Sure.
I live in the Islamic Republic of Minnesota. I mean, I hope that's maybe saying enough right there. I am not able to be as forthright as I would absolutely love to be, but Mr. Ellison represents... And my perspective is that he is going to make an effort, if he ever gets this kind of power and authority, to get a Sharia law wherever he possibly can. And I think the goal is to have either Minnesota or Dearborn and Michigan sort of be the trial run. But I just think listeners need to be aware of the consequences of an election going in a very wrong direction. And we may not have perfect candidates on either side, but... we have one candidate who's not going to allow this kind of nonsense to keep going forth.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Jan Markell joins us. Jan, who do you have coming up on your show this weekend?
I have Alex Newman, Liberty Sentinel, and we're going to talk about some of these issues as only Alex can do so effectively. We're just in crunch time here. And as I said earlier, God sets up kings and he tears them down. But he has given responsibility to the people, at least these days we can vote. And I'm hearing, gentlemen, from an awful lot of people who are writing me and saying, well, they're not going to vote this year. And I just think that it could lead to a catastrophe. And I just encourage any of your listeners who are leaning that way because they're not looking at a perfect candidate to rewire their thinking because it would result in a catastrophe.
Yeah. Tell us about Alex again, what he does.
Alex Newman, my goodness. I think Fred probably knows who Alex is.
Yeah.
He's one of the most interesting young men with a perspective of what's going on in the world, almost second to none. I value him and also Michelle Bachmann so very highly because they will put the proper spin on whatever's going on in this country. So we're going to talk about that this weekend, and we'll look at some of the scenes behind the scenes, and particularly from a political perspective.
All right, Jan, well, that's coming up this weekend.
It's
noon Central Time on Sunday. Here on American Family Radio.
1 p.m. on Saturday.
1 p.m. on Saturday.
1 p.m. Saturday. And Jan does talk and discuss things, obviously, from a biblical worldview perspective, but also from a Bible prophecy. Oftentimes, she puts things in a Bible prophecy perspective. All right. Thank you, Jan. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for fixing that glitch.
All righty. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
she lives in Minnesota, Jan does, and I guess Minnesota now is just going to be – Minnesota used to be, I guess, somewhat purple, but it's just blue now, right? I mean –
Yeah, you know, Jan will refer to Minnesota, and I guess Minneapolis in particular, has become Little Somalia. And 200,000 Somalis that were encouraged to come in under the presidency of Barack Obama. And when you have that many people, they can have a tremendous influence politically.
Absolutely.
In the country.
I'm looking at a Fox News story on the subject we were discussing about Keith Ellison being on the short list for Attorney General for Kamala Harris if she is elected. You know, right now we've got Merrick Garland, who's bad enough. Somebody on Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, was mentioning the fact that she picked the governor of Minnesota, as Tim Walz, as her vice presidential candidate. And so someone commented, first Tim Walz, now the odious Keith Ellison. Minnesota is punching above its weight in destroying America. So Keith Ellison would be a serious radical. In
For those who don't know, he's a former U.S. congressman from Minnesota and extremely liberal. And then he was the state attorney, right?
He is currently.
Currently the attorney general of the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
He doesn't think that businesses should be able to legally sell firearms. When there was a spate of car thefts in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, he blamed the car manufacturers for not, you know, having enough preventative measures to keep people from stealing the vehicles. I mean, this guy's a total radical. He is Muslim. He would be the first Muslim attorney general in our country.
So the idea here is if Harris is elected and Walz is her VP, and then Walz, they would hire, they would select him to be their Attorney General of the United States.
Yes.
That's the danger she's warning
right.
about.
I will say this is, it's all the more reason why people need to make sure they vote beyond the presidency. That's one of the things that always gets everybody's attention for an election year, and understandably so. But in many places, they're voting on senators. And we have to keep in mind something Tony Perkins said back in 2016 at the Republican National Convention just before they brought Trump out. Tony said, we're not just picking a president. We're picking cabinet members. We're picking Supreme Court justices. There's a whole lot of stuff on here. Even Debbie Wuthnow, who we just had on the show a couple of days ago from AFA Action, wrote a really good article for The Stand. I'll share it in a second. But she talked about the importance of down ballot elections.
Well, and to your point, Chris, that what Jan Markell was saying, that she increasingly talking to Christians who say, I'm just not going to vote. Okay, so that's true even on the presidential front. But you mentioned down ballot. If you're going to stay home because you don't like either Trump or Harris, then you're letting the vote for congressman or congresswoman, your senators. You're letting go your responsibility maybe to pick someone for the school board or mayor. You're governor. You're letting all that go.
You can't just not vote.
Right.
By staying home.
Well, and a lot of state legislators who eventually move up the ranks and become a federal legislator, they start out at a city council or a school board. And they, you know.
That's but listen, I want to be careful here. I know some people have what they believe to be biblical reasons for not voting for Donald Trump. I understand that. I don't want to insult anybody. But first and foremost, let me just say, if you are not voting at all, you're not getting a Christmas card from me. Okay, I don't care if you go to my church. All right, you have to vote. Or you don't love your neighbor. I'm just going to say it. We're supposed to love our neighbor. You don't want to vote for people who are in charge of your children, your grandchildren, and your neighbor's children. You don't want to vote. You want to throw all that because you have a purity test for president.
Any other office, but certainly for president.
You'll wind up being in your prayer closet praying for the National Guard someday.
Yeah.
When wickedness flows down your street. And
Preach
I don't want
to, brother.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to hear it.
It's
when you complain about what our country's coming to, well, then you should have voted.
Alex was on maybe a month ago, 6 weeks at most, Alex. And he talked about Alex McFarland.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he does hear from people saying, you know, it's we shouldn't try to interfere with God's plan. We shouldn't get involved in politics, stuff like that. And Alex said on this show, I hear you, but where are we going to live?
Right.
Well, so he was saying, was he talking to the people who say what?
That say we shouldn't bother voting.
Let me continue preaching for just a second.
Amen.
You think there's something wrong with child trafficking? Sex trafficking? Well, that's what's happening at our southern border.
Yeah.
All right? That border's thrown wide open, and children are being sex trafficked all the way up and down Latin America. So you tell me you don't want to vote for someone right. who might shut that border?
Right.
Well, then their blood's on your hands. Okay? You got to take a stand sometime, and you got to vote for the lesser, if you want to me to put it this way, lesser two evils. All right, and we're talking
about... At least it's less evil.
It's less evil.
And if that's the way you want to frame it, I've heard that. People say, I'm tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. Well, you know what? As long as we're in this world and it's made up of human beings, that's the choice you're going to have oftentimes.
Less evils.
Is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
There are young people getting raped and murdered by illegal immigrants in this country. There are people who are dying from candy poisoned with fentanyl. You don't think it makes a difference that border
is wide? So securing our border, what you're saying is securing our border does make a big, big difference in our country and in our future, and consider where the candidates, Harris and Trump, stand on that. That's
yes.
what you're saying, and that
Absolutely.
Does matter. That does matter.
All these things matter. Mm-hmm. This is not an abstract.
You can't stay home.
This is not an abstract
right.
exercise where you're all sitting around the campfire
Right.
and roasting hot dogs.
I don't think I'll vote.
And marshmallow. I don't think I can vote. Donald Trump is X, Y, or Z. Okay, listen. Yeah, he's X, Y, or Z.
Right.
Okay, but we're talking about the future of our country.
Right.
And we're talking about possibly going communist.
Right.
And there
right.
are people who say, I think I'll just stay home.
Yeah.
Man, I just need to stop right now.
I think you just destroyed their argument. If you really care about the future of our country, you know, because look what's at stake. This doesn't necessarily guarantee that if Donald Trump, for example,
right.
is elected, everything's going to go perfectly, or you're going to see him do everything the correct and right way. But you do have to weigh out you see over here with Harris and with Waltz, their record. And what they've said and done, I just sent you guys around right before the show. Harris, when she was interviewed, when she filled in a survey for the American Civil Liberty,
yeah. mm-hmm.
for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACO, the infamous ACLU,
right.
she filled out a survey 4 years ago. Harris is trying to pretend like she's some kind of moderate right now, but she is not. She is to the left, or she's as far left as Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. That's her record. In fact, I think she was known as the most liberal member of the United States Senate
right.
before she became the VP. Mm-hmm. Now she's trying to play like she's and project herself as some kind of centrist.
Mm.
You know, I own guns. Tim Walz own guns. We're not here to take people's guns away. Remember that?
Yeah.
What she said the other night. Okay, the record. Do you still have that? Do you have that?
Do you guys have what I sent around? I got it right
okay.
here.
Okay. What? What I want you to read from, Chris, yep. This was a story. So I just want to make sure people understand what Chris is about to read. I sent around and researched. I'm not making this up, okay? We're not just throwing names out there like she's a Marxist or whatever like that. These are the things, these were four things that Harris committed to in her survey by the ACLU 4 years ago.
Yes.
You have those four bullet points?
Yeah, this is from Just the News.
Okay, read them. Read the first one.
Writing to woo the American Civil Liberties Union, or ACLU, Harris committed to taxpayer funding of gender manipulation surgeries and treatments for illegal aliens.
Okay, stop right there. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's left-wing insanity. What she said, she wrote this down.
Yes.
Okay, we're not making this up. She said, I want to see the United States federal government pay for transgendered surgeries for illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no world where that is even halfway sane, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what she committed to. She's whacked out.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the way I see it, she's whacked out liberal. She's beyond liberal.
Right.
She is
far left.
Liberal is RFK. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, what's the next one she committed to?
A pathway to citizenship for those who broke the law by crossing the U.S. border without permission.
Okay, well, that's a typical Democrat talking point. Mm-hmm. What's the next one?
The decriminalization of all illegal drugs under federal law, including cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl, if a defendant claimed they were for personal use.
Oh, my goodness.
I think she just wrote
from my sciatica.
Okay. What's next? What's the fourth one?
And the kneecapping of the nation's main deportation agency, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, as it is colloquially known, it's a hard word to say, in Washington circles, by banning its use of deportation.
Yeah, she's against ICE. She would defund ICE. You know, Donald Trump said she's for defunding the police. Well, if you're for defunding ICE, they are the police.
Yeah. Yes.
They are the police.
I remember talking to someone on the other side of the Christian community in 2020, and they said, listen, I don't care about what's going on in public schools. We homeschool our kids. To which I said, all right, first of all, your freedom to homeschool your kids came because people in the 80s,
right.
70s, 80s, and 90s fought tooth and nail
to
give you that right.
And
they got
voted.
Involved in politics, and they voted, and they contacted.
Right.
Okay, second of all, don't tell me you love your neighbor. If your kids are free from homosexual instruction, but the kids down the street, they get roped into this lifestyle.
Right.
You
could do something to stop it.
Right. Anyway, there's a couple of other points I wanted to make.
I can't guarantee I won't continue to rant.
Well,
after
I think you're about to spontaneously combust.
I did post this link for you on the Facebook page.
That helped.
Fred and I are backing away just to see what this looks like.
That's right.
All right, you're like shaking up a Diet Coke and lifting the top before the fizz is gone.
Ed Battagliano won't change.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.